can't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything, get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only?
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast, aka the Pod Pod. I'm Jono, coach of Flatty Burton, and I'm here with a two-man pod tonight, and we are going to talk about all things buy round after the first big buy round in round 13. We're going to talk about some of the fallout from State of Origin, and here to discuss it all with me heading into round 14 is the coach of Tubes' Pods. It's Tubes. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Second pod for you this week. No one got to hear the first, but... Good to have you running around again.
I know. Thanks for just ripping off that Band-Aid early, Tubes. It's going to be weird talking about some of the same stuff I've already spoken about. But one of the positives is we recorded that on Monday before Teamless Tuesday and before Origin. Like, a ton has changed, like what people's plans might have been since we recorded on Monday. So I actually think it's a little bit beneficial for the listeners doing an episode after Origin before round 14 starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful, and no Thursday night footy, so good to be able to, you know, talk about Supercoach in the upcoming weekend without a game going on. I don't think we'll be dissecting Origin in terms of Supercoach on this, but we certainly won't be giving our views on Origin, I don't think, tonight, because I don't think anyone tunes in to hear our expert analysis on on how the Blues went or didn't go very well last night. I think there's just been a ridiculous amount of changes. But it feels like a long time ago. How did you go in round 13? You won the group prize for our head-to-head league.
Tubes, you know how it went in round 13. It wasn't very well. our cash league that you and I are in had a prize this week, and because there was no head-to-head games for the buy round in that league, they did a prize for who gets the worst averaging player score, and I took out the $50. That sums out pretty well how I did. I think I had a player average of like 56 across my 13 players, so not very well at all. Tubes, I think you're a little bit the opposite, though. You moved up the ranks last round, didn't you?
Yeah, I scraped in with only 13 players, and I managed a 966. Shooting back up the ranks, I'm 60 back in 6800th, and I think outside of you, I'm still the lowest ranked in the Podfod family. So I think Matt and Dan and Chris are all doing pretty well. Chris scraped into the top 1,000, and Matt sort of around the 1,200-1,300. We're kicking along all right. We're making moves at the right point in the season.
That, except for you, wasn't needed there, Tubes.
It was subtle. It was subtle.
Now, you've said that we're not going to have any strong Origin opinions. I'm not going to dissect game plans, but I'll tell you what, I will have a couple of strong opinions for one Supercoach relevant player. And Tubes, we talk about coming in hot sometimes in the pod. I'm coming in spicy after a couple of spicy margaritas on a date night tonight. So I will have a couple of strong opinions on one of those players. But look, speaking of strong opinions and a bit of spice, Tubes, Deadhand Gang and Quentin, can you give us an update on how he's going in our pod Unlimited League?
Yeah, pod Unlimited League, sponsored by Mailbag Bloodstock, who's actually been on fire lately. They recently had another winner, like called Just Folk, on the weekend, took out a group 3 up in Brisbane. And Deadhand Gang's been going just as strongly. He's still sitting ninth overall. So winner overall takes out a 2.5% share in a horse from Mailbag Bloodstock. And yeah, he's still in box seat. Don't know how he's going trade wise, but he's hanging in there for sure.
Yeah, going well. And there's a couple of other, I think there are two or three other people from the Pod Unlimited who are sitting in the top 100 currently as well. So good to see a few of the listeners having success. Tubes, let's start off with a segment that is named in your namesake. It is Tubes' Temper Traps. And the first one on our list is Trey Fuller. And this is one that I personally put on because I do have a little bit of a temper about me when it comes to Trey Fuller. I actually captained him against all logic on the weekend. I think I was texting YouTube saying, it doesn't make any sense, but my gut is telling me that Trey Fuller is the man to go with. And when you're sitting 30,000th, maybe you shouldn't be listening to your gut and should go with a bit more logic, because he came out and got a 40. He got hurt in the process. And for anyone who's holding on to Trey Fuller, he's absolutely a man that should be traded out of your team. Tubes, I'm assuming you don't have too much to add about Trey Fuller.
No. Yeah, definitely one of your worst calls of the season. I think you wrote to me saying, I know it seems crazy, but my gut is telling me Fuller, to which I don't think I gave any sort of acknowledgement or to or fro. I think I gave you a thumbs up.
It might have been good on you for having a crack, like that, yeah, kind of support.
So I think he's a definite trade. I think we'll talk about a few fullback options. It is a bit tricky. You could be going up to a Trell, or you could be going down to a Hopper, and there's a few options there. But I think he's done his dash. And on the part of the pod that no one else heard, but I heard trying to edit it, Dan sort of made a good point saying he might have just been a bit dejected, like he's not as up and about. With the fact that he's no chance of retaining his spot. Hammer's come back in. He's resigned to going back to reserve grade. So there just wasn't as much spark in his performance on the weekend.
Mm. Yeah. So, all right.
So anyone thinking of holding him for 16 and 19, I'd be getting rid of him now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, without question. It's got to go. Angus Crichton is the next one on our Tubes' temper traps. You guys gave him a pretty good analysis a couple of weeks ago about Angus and whether he's a hold or a sell coming through the origin period. So I don't think we need to go too in-depth, Tubes. Have you had any changes of opinions for people who've now held him through? He's got the buy this week. Is he worth selling, or is it just worth a hold at this stage for people who've already held through those first two games of his?
I think... if you're going to Fifita from him, I think he's still a logical sell for me. I think even Origin probably confirmed he played some pretty good minutes. I can't really tell you exactly what it was off the top of my head, but it felt like he was out there. He was strong, playing well, but I just don't think that you're going to get much backup from him, or if he does be backing up in future times, it'll be off the bench. He played 80. There you go. I was just looking it up. So I think that sort of, I think at his price, he's a sell, and the obvious man is Dave Fifita, for those that don't already own him.
72 more minutes than Joseph Suli. Well done, Crichton.
He was the only forward to play 80 minutes outside of Reece Robson.
Nice. Yeah, so, I mean, and you can expect that's going to happen in the next two games as well.
Yeah.
I would imagine. So he's clearly got the motor for it. I agree with you, Tubes. The only risk, I think, is if people can get Fifita another way, and it's a team-dependent thing for me. Like, I'm going to hold Crichton because I have a bit of cash in the bank to get Fifita from Sean Lane, and I know not everyone will have that luxury, but that's the spot I'm in. I think that if people trade out Crichton, there's a fair chance they're just resigned to not getting him back in with how limited trades are. And I do think he's a player that I will want in my team for that last, you know, seven rounds post-Origin. So I do get it, but I think if people can find another way, it is worth exploring. Sam Hughes, for people who held on to him thinking he had great buy coverage in round 13 and 16 and thinking he might get them maybe a 35 to 45 points, he got 16 on the weekend. Big Sammy Hughes, only 15 minutes, started 15 minutes, didn't get back on the footy field. Tubes, he is got a break even now in the 60s. For those who are holding, is it just worth holding him through to 16 and hoping those minutes bounce back, or do you think it's the right time to sell him now before he gets back down under 300K?
I think if you are going to sell him, it's probably this week, but there's no one to sell him to. Like, 350K is such an awkward crap price. Like, you could nuff him out and you make 150K, or you don't make it, but yeah, you bank it, and you try to upgrade him, but upgrading him, he's just not, you're going to need a lot of cash to be able to do it. So I think if you've got some options this week, you could look at selling him, but I really think that you're probably just holding him now, through to probably end of 17 and just and hope that over those three rounds, this 16 comes out of his rolling average and you can get back to that sort of 410K before you're selling him after that point in time.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I am going to, I'm an owner and I am selling him. I'm doing the Nuff strategy tubes. I'm going to go down to Newcastle's favourite son, Miles Martin, who's a dual front row forward, second row forward. And I'm just going to bank that 150K. My numbers look solid for 16, so I don't really have the need to keep him around. But I think for people who, yeah, might need the numbers, I think he probably does get back to those decent minutes, that 35-ish minutes. So not a terrible hold, but I also think he's a fine sell if the time is right.
What about the holds for 13? Like, I know we didn't really talk about it, but people that held Lussick, Sam Hughes and Lane, and they held them all just for round 13, and none of them, not one of them actually delivered. One played 15 minutes, one didn't even play, and the other got what? What did Lane get, 36? I suppose that you could say that he did the best of them.
I had all three. So. Plus plays to Lange, who didn't play at all either, but at least he's come good this week, getting named back in the Parramatta starting lineup with Simonson getting hurt.
So,
not good holds. In the end, I was at Bow Chips. It's like, I'll just, you know, thought about selling him 4 or 5 weeks. I just went, I'll just hold him until 13. Like, it's close enough. They'll do me okay. And it hasn't quite worked out. But
now you're temper trapping Hughes straight out, not holding him again till 16. Learned your lesson.
Yep, done with it. All right, let's get into some positional analysis tubes. And you mentioned Joey Lussick there, and we're going to talk about his replacement in the Parramatta starting lineup, Brendan Hands, who played 80 minutes, made 50 on tackles last weekend for a score of 65, coming in very, very cheap. What do you think of Hands tubes? Is it time to get these Hands? Do you think he's a worthwhile downgrade?
I think so. He's 246,000, break even a minus 20 this week. And he played a game off the bench, didn't he? Said, like, he has a price rise coming now.
He's got a break even of negative 20, I think.
Yeah, negative 20, yeah. So I think, like, you still don't have to get him this week, but if you can go a downgrade from a Lussick, if that's who you're holding, to him, bank some money in that money that you bank, you utilize to go up to someone else, then I think it makes sense. So, yeah, I think he'll be a serviceable option. I'm currently running JMK and Appy, and I'm pretty happy with that through the bye periods. I don't know. Do you own Harry, John?
No, I don't. I'm running Appy Lussick, so I'm one of the Lussick owners who you mentioned, and I'm definitely going to Hands this week.
Yeah. So I think that's good for you, Appy, like holding Appy now through Origin and having Hands as sort of the backup. I just wonder if you own Harry and you went to Hands, whether you're happy with that through the bye period. I suppose it just in terms of with Harry backing up or not backing up, I suppose you're expecting him to do a job and probably average sort of between 45 and 50. So he's a pretty safe bet, I think, to downgrade to from Lussick for sure.
I don't think, Jews, if I had someone like Harry, I'd be any chance of going down to Hands, because it's a trade to get him out, trade to get him back in. You might be stuck never getting him back in if that's the player you want to have. So for me, it would be a
no. Oh, no, I meant if you owned Harry and Lussick, but you're in the position, because Appy, holding Appy, the Tigers now play, what, every round until like round 26 or something like that. So.
Yeah.
You just have Appy as your number one choice hooker until you might upgrade him. I was probably more just thinking, do you really want Hands in your 17 or are you just buying him as that sort of backup option? I probably talked myself into either way. I think he's a good buy.
Yeah, and I think when he's been playing 80 minutes in his career, he averages, I think it's like high 40s. So I think he is certainly playable. If he's getting those 80 minutes and Lussick's not sniffing around on the bench.
Yeah, and Blaze is now into the centres, so there's no utility at all on the bench, even though Blaze didn't come on last week.
Yeah, and Dan made a really good case, actually, in the lost episode of the Pod. He's actually the one who talked me into getting Hands in that episode, and he put the case forward that hooker is not a position where you want to be spending money. You want to have one really good one, ideally Harry, and that no one wants to really be running two premium level hookers in their final squad. You want to use that money elsewhere. So his case was that you can get Hands and you don't even have to trade him out again potentially. You can hold him until the end of the year. You're getting someone at enough price who you can just hold into your team and play when you need him. And if he does get up to a big chunk of cash, you still might be able to downgrade, but it's fairly risk-free when you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
All right, it's plenty of time on Hands. Let's go to Appy, who you did mention there, Tubes, about his buy coverage. Are you at all... You're an Appy owner, aren't you, Tubes?
I sure am.
Are you at all concerned about this chat? This, have you seen Alex Lobb has lobbed up into the Tigers team and he's a goal-kicking winger? And there's been a little bit of chat about Appy losing the goal-kicking to him. Would that be a concern for people who are looking at bringing Appy in, or do you think it's just, who cares, worth the risk, this bike could be dropped next week?
I think so. It sort of counteracts by, what's that?
Jake Simpkin.
Crappy hookers. Jake Simpkin's been moved across to Manly, so you would assume that Appy's going back to, you know, almost guaranteed 80 minutes. Which is good for this week, and you've got to. I would imagine that Lobb's not holding his first grade spot all year. He might, but it's more just for me, Appy, at the price, $515,000, and it's their coverage now. So they play all the way through until round 25 without a bye. He's clearly not on. And I mean, speaking of, I thought Robson was certainly in the top handful of New South Wales best and wasn't looking tired and making some great, you know, try-saving tackles and whatnot. So I don't see Appy coming in to the Origin squad at all. So I think he's a great buy still to bring in.
Yeah. And, Tubes, you mentioned the potential of him playing 80 minutes. That bench is so good for Appy. Looking at it, it's a four-forward bench. They got, well, Brent Naden, I guess he's not a four, but I can't see him playing hooker.
Yeah,
it'd be funny if he did. Fanua Pole, who's very much a middle. Sione Fainu, who's the other Fainu brother, I believe. So there's obviously Latu, who's the halfback. There's Sam Weller, who people have as a dual front row forward, second row forward. This is Sione, who's another front rower. And then there's Ruben Porter, who's a back rower, a young back rower. So a really, really friendly bench. So I wouldn't be put off by the goal kicking at all.
Naden did play halfback in New South Wales Cup this year, a few games. So not a huge leap to come out and deputise at hooker, but yeah, nah, don't think he will be.
It's a pretty big leap.
Yeah, I see Cookie's on the run sheet. Like, why is Cookie on the run sheet? Who is this? Is this a Dan like still spruiking Cookie? Like, what's?
I don't know if it was so much Dan Spriggan. I'm going to defend Dan a little bit there. I think I put it on there so Dan could have a moment to talk about his call of Cookie. Like, I put it on there and let Dan just cook, pun intended.
Yeah, so he's got a break even of four, but I'm pretty sure he's played, like, it feels like he's sort of their Mr. Fix-It. Like, if someone gets injured, he goes to lock or he goes to the centres.
He played fullback.
He played a fullback. Like, yeah. And he's been scoring tries. So I certainly wouldn't be going anywhere near Cookie from a Supercoach point of view. Even though South's run is pretty nice coming up, it doesn't seem worth the risk at 589K. I'd be shocked if he after this week is in his peak in price and then he'll be drifting back down.
Yeah, and Appy at a similar price I think is a much better buy. Let's move on to the front row forward, Tubes. And really, like always, there's not that much to talk about really with front row forward. I know that Adam Fanua Blake owners are rejoicing to see him named in the starting lineup for the Warriors. Seems like he served his one game suspension. They're just happy to move on from that whole situation. He's expensive, Tubes, 780K. Fanua Blake with really nice buy coverage moving forward. Do you think he's a buy or is it just a bit of a watch for him for non-owners at the moment?
I think it comes down to priorities and how many trades you got. I'm not bringing him in at the moment. I'd prefer to bring in like a Fifita in the back row or an Eli Katoa in the back row if you didn't own them for sort of buy coverage. Like, I think he's who you want to finish with as your front row forward. It's just about working out now when you're going to bring him in. I also think he loses a little bit without SJ. Like that, those out the back balls from SJ that he scored a few tries off this year, just isn't as impactful without him. So I'd be happy to wait a couple of weeks. Hopefully drop a little bit in price and SJ back.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. He's like the only front row in the comp who gets set moves run for him near the line to crash over for a try. Yeah. And it is nearly always off SJ. Sometimes Wade Egan can put him through. They use like a decoy run to get Fenua Blake out wide. But yeah, I agree. It does limit his chance to score tries. Tubes, Sam Welifonu, who we mentioned earlier, the West Tigers starting second row forward, who's a dual position player at 415K. He's sitting with a break even of 13. Are you still putting him up as a bit of a buy, even at 415K?
I think so. Only 415. I just think he's got that dual front row forward, second row forward flexibility, which I still think is pretty handy. But it's also just that buy coverage, what we just mentioned to do with Appy. Like, you know, he's going to what he's going to do. He's averaging 48, but I remember at the earlier in the season he was playing off the bench and he had a couple of, was it HIA or injury affected games?
He played through the middle. He played through the middle a bit early in the year though, which got some elevated scores too.
Yeah, but I suppose it's probably his floor at playing 80 minutes on as a back rower seems to be sort of 35 to 40, and he definitely has that attacking upside, as we saw last week when he got, or last game when he got 82 with a try, but not a, and a try and a line break effectively. So I think he's got that in him. I think he's not a bad second front rower for the bye period and then third front rower with a bit of, you know, dual flexibility for the run home.
I think I disagree, Tubes. He's one of those ones who I would love to own and wish I owned, but I wish I got him at 300K. I think at 415K, I think he's a little bit gone. I think he's going to get a bit more money, but I don't see it worth being a trade. So since he's been starting as a back rower, he's gone 32, 48, 39, 36 when he hasn't got attacking stats. And then he did have that 82 with the try and line break last week. So he's just one of those ones, I think, if you have him, awesome. He's a great pickup, especially with Bateman and IPAP both gone for a while. But I wouldn't be bringing him in now, personally.
But what's your finishing front row forwards? Like, we just said AFB. Like, who else are you, like?
Payne Haas is a bit of a forgotten man. Like, when his games he's played this year, his scores have been really strong still. It's just that he's been injured for periods and now he's not relevant for a while because of Origin. But I think you definitely want Payne Haas. And then a lot of people would have dudes like Ruben Cotter, Josh Curran, who are also, like, well owned already, and people would probably plan on keeping for the run home. So, yeah, I said I don't mind him if you own him. I just don't think he's a buy, not at 415K.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Cod is a sell. I don't know if you, I wouldn't want to keep him for the run home. I agree. I forgot. Obviously, Payne Haas is the second row front rower that you're hoping to get after Origin. Cotter, I'd sell him to Finu for 200 and making that 200K over this Origin period, if I could use that 200K to upgrade someone else to a Fifita or something like that for this week, I think that's a fine option that's playable in your 17 over the next sort of 4 or 5 weeks.
A fine who option?
Exactly. He's just fine who.
All right. Second row forward, Tubes, David Fifita, off the back of Queensland getting a big win. Is he the biggest buy of the week for anyone who doesn't own?
Like, just 100%. You know, it's annoying because, again, I know it said not doing Origin analysis. I thought the New South Wales forwards were really strong, and I actually didn't think the Queensland forwards had unbelievable games. And it probably, without the sort of send-off, it could have been tighter. But I think given Queensland won, they won by a margin. The next one's in Melbourne. Unless there's, you know, a few injuries, Fifita's not making the team. So I think he's a must get in. They play the Bunnies this weekend. as everyone says, he'll be fired up. It's just how much do you move heaven and earth to try and get him in this week, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he's a heaven and earth man. I'm moving heaven and earth. I do. I think he's worth doing whatever you need to do to get him in for people who don't own him. The idea of owning a pissed off David Fifita playing against that South Edge with Cody Walker defending him is absolutely terrifying. So I'd be doing whatever I could to get him in, and will be doing just that, Tube. So I completely agree with you on all points. He's also a perfect VC play in only the third game of the round too.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect C play. I don't even know if I'd
yeah, true. VC. Like, just straight up.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose a lot of people will only have just 17 this week, so you may as well
use get a free shot. Yeah.
But yeah, and if you're not in that situation, straight C sounds pretty good as well.
Well, for people who can't afford Fifita and decide he's not a heaven and earth guy, we have Keon Kolomatangi in our list, Tubes. I don't even think we can call him Aldi Fifita, can we? He might be corner store Fifita. But he is pretty good value at a touch under 600K. He has spent the last couple of weeks playing in the middle, and last round for South started at lock and played 80 minutes with huge base, scored, crashed over for a try. It was easily the most frisky and like involved he's been, busting tackles. The offloads were a little bit back. He looked fantastic. Tubes, with Cam Murray on the horizon, Murray could be back as soon as next week, although then probably leaves again for Origin if he's looking good. Is Kolomatangi worth the risk?
I think so, because he's 584K. I think you're getting this upside of as you say, playing in the middle this week. His break-even is minus one, but he'll have that 133 in his rolling average next week as well. And I think it's also worth remembering, whilst he started the year even at 620K, he was a 700K player at points in the season last year. I know Souths, they're not the same team, but getting towards back to full strength with I guess Whiten in the halves with Cody showing a little bit more signs of attacking flair, I think you get him in the middle when Murray's not in the team, and then you get him back on the edge when Murray is in the team, and he's still got the potential to go big if he's more involved. I think he's a great play, 584K. If I wasn't moving heaven and earth to get Fifita, he'd be my next choice in that second row forward to bring in.
Yeah, I think if people are going in with their eyes open, as long as they're not expecting him to be an 80-minute middle for the remainder of the year, I think he's a great buy for all the reasons you just said. The other thing, Tubes, that I haven't heard too discussed about Kolomatangi is once he does go back to the edge, he's likely going to go back to that right edge, which is where he started the left this year, then they shifted him back to the right. Cody Walker's going to be the right edge player now. So that right edge is going to get more action than what it traditionally does when Cody was on the left with Lachie Ilias out on the right. So Cody is your right edge half with Kolomatangi outside of him. I think he's a fourth back rower like that you could hold in your team for the rest of the year comfortably, even once he's back on that edge. So I really, really like him as a buy, and I'm with you, Tubes. If it wasn't for Fifita, Kolomatangi would be one I'd be looking to bring in this week. Doesn't seem like he's an Origin threat either.
Well, no, like I said before, the Origin, I thought the New South Wales forwards were really good. Like Ola Kawaja off the bench, I'd be shocked if he was anywhere near that conversation at all, despite being an incumbent, wasn't he? He played game three last year. So yeah, I really like him. Honestly, is there a world where he matches Fifita over the next 3 or 4 weeks? Like,
you can't think that way, Tubes. Don't do it. Put it on.
Like, it's a bit of an antipod or a pod play. Kolomatangi. It could be the I don't know. The Ferreira Rocher Fifita.
Ferreira Rocher. You associate that as being a luxury chocolate because of the nice golden packaging?
It is a luxury chocolate. It's a delicious, and what a name, Ferrero Rochers.
All right. That's enough on Colin Mataki. But, Tube, sometimes a pod is a pod for a pod plays a pod play for a reason. I think that might fit that bill. Tubes, when we did our episode with Chris and Dan that we'll never hear the time of day, never get the time of day, I should say, sorry. Kalma Chiwalangi was one that I put up as a decent downgrade option at 350K, and the other two did not like it at all. I wish he was 60K cheaper. He's playing the last few weeks 80 minutes on the edge for Parramatta. His base has been really, really impressive. He's getting through a lot of work. His spot seems pretty safe. Sean Lane's out of favour. Ryan Madison, unfortunately for him, is having a few issues with his concussions again, a few dizzy spells. So it does seem like he's got decent job security, Kalma Chiwalangi. I just wish he was a little bit cheaper, but I don't hate him as a buyer who has good buy round coverage coming up. What do you think?
I don't think he's the worst. I mean, 350K playing 80 minutes or certainly probably 65 plus. I just think, like, people don't factor in how bad Sean Lane is at football this year. Like, there's a reason he's been relegated to the bench and sort of he's actually even sort of coming through the middle a little bit, playing that Madison role that he was playing. Obviously, Hopgood back this week. That could mean that they look to have Lane on an edge a little bit again. So it could affect Tuilagi. It could affect Cartwright. But at 350K, it's not a bad downgrade. I guess the argument just would be some of the other ones we've said as downgrades, like Hands or etc., they're just safer. Like, you'd hate a world where Tuilagi, you know, he might make 100K, but then he moves back to the bench and you're sort of stuck with him as a bit of an AE nightmare as well.
Yeah, I choose with the Hopgood point. He did play 80 with Hopgood in the team and Lane off the bench the week before, so that might not be a factor. But where I do agree with you is that price tag. And I think the player I imagine people would be looking to downgrade would be Lane. And is it worth doing for 60K? Like, I don't think so. So
he would have been a nice play last week when he was 290K. If you knew he was going to play 80 minutes and score you 73 points in the bye round.
Oh, it would have been fantastic. I like this next guy, Tubes, as a downgrade from Lane, because this with Justin Matamua, who's been named to start at lock for the Tigers this week, he is a significant downgrade from someone like a Sean Lane. 200K, he is going to play round 16 and round 19. He looks like he might have a pretty decent role. He was actually named to start at lock in round 12 and then before kickoff got moved to the bench. But since then, IPAP got hurt in that game. And what they did in that game was they moved Seafarth to the edge and brought Matamura on at lock. And then this week, that's the way it's been named, with Seafarth on an edge and Matamura at lock. So he's got really, really good base. Whenever he gets minutes, he scores at a good PPM. So if he's starting at lock and getting 55-plus minutes, he has a lot of cash potentially to make, and he covers those two major buy rounds coming up. What do you think of him as a downgrade, Tubes?
I mean, I just have no idea with the Tigers. It just feels risky only because I know, like you said, Papali'i and Bateman are out, but I mean, their bench is Vanua Pole, Sione Fainu, Ruben Porter. I have no idea what that minutes rotation is going to look like. He could be a really good buy. Can you wait a week on him? Like, does it have to be this week? Could you, like, it might be worth seeing what that rotation is going to look like. I just have no idea with the Tigers. It just feels like a potential high risk. Clemmer's out this week as well. Is he out long term?
Not sure. Haven't seen anything on Clemmer. Tubes, his break even.
He's playing front row forward as well, so he's a possible lock.
I think if you do it, it's this week because his break even's 2. So if he does come out and play 50 minutes and score 50 points, he's going to be then up near 300K. And is he worth it at 300K at that point?
Well, maybe if he comes out and scores 50 points and plays 50 minutes. The reverse happens. He comes out and plays 30 minutes and scores 20 points. Who cares that his break even's 2 then? Like, I just think there's enough that I don't like it. It's too risky. No idea what the minutes are going to look like. But if you research into it and Clemmer's out for the season as well, I just have no idea why 12 starting front rower because he's a potential lock. Yeah, I don't love it. It does bode well for my man Stefano Utukamano and his minutes for the weekend, hopefully.
Do you still own him?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea you owned him. I'm trying to find Tubes the Clemmer news, and just how good's his headline? New South Wales suffer massive David Clemmer origin blow from the 24th of May. Like, was Clemmer ever in the origin conversation for this year? What? It feels like I'm reading an article from 6 years ago.
Yeah, him and Aaron Woods, they were going to be our starting props.
Yeah. Anyway, don't know too much about his injury, but yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Risky. Yeah. All right, halfback Tubes, and we're going to start with Jerome Hughes, who I know you brought in a couple of weeks ago, hoping to pair him up with Eli Katoa and get a little bit of a Storm right edge combination going. Do you think he's a buy? Because we're going to
talk. There is no way we're starting Jerome Hughes. Are you kidding? There's one man to start with.
All right, start with him. Go.
One man only, because he literally dictates the rest of the decision making. And it's Nico. Nico Hines, I'm pretty sure the majority of people still held him last week. A few may have sold. He's got a rolling three. He's not going to play this week. He's 984K, so he's likely to lose money now. Could go through all of this. And the biggest decision people have to make is, do you sell Nico this week? Because the easiest way to get to a Fifita or a Katoa or whoever you want to upgrade to is downgrading Nico at 984K to whoever other options we're going to talk about. I don't think Nico was very good last night, and I think his origin hopes are down the drain, and so I'm going to be holding him. What do you reckon?
I think you're being generous with not very good last night, and I'm not even going to pick him apart for his defense down that edge, because that's not his fault with Suoliti getting hurt. His fifth tackle options were absolutely deplorable, and he looked a little bit scared at times. I was really disappointed. I was someone who, like, that was a bit of the chat going into the game about Nico, is he scared of the big moments, doesn't like the big pressure. And I was very very much defending him to people in my life who were bagging on Nico, thinking he was going to go well, but geez, I felt sorry for him. He looked like he was completely out of his depth out there. So yeah, I think he's no chance of holding onto a spot. I would be holding as well Tubes for that reason. I think Mitchie Boy Moses, who I know people had discussed being someone they could bring in for Nico, I think I now wouldn't touch Mitchie Boy, because I think he's a massive chance of wearing the number 7 for the next Origin game.
I mean, it was a pretty tough situation. I think Nico's a much better player than he played last night.
No doubt, Tubes. No doubt.
I don't think Moses would have looked good last night either. Like, the problem is, I don't think any of New South Wales halves outside of Cleary are the type of halves that it's like, chips are down, we're going to bring you back out of this game. Like, as in, they're all good, and they're certainly very good when their teams are on top. But when the chips are down, like, I just think we don't have that many good options. So I don't think Moses is that much better an option, but he wasn't good, and I agree. I think he's going to get dropped. He put in a nice kick for Lomax. I'll give him that. It was a nice It was a nice little chip over the top.
It was Lomax. One nice kick
made look pretty good. But yeah, so I think Nico, I don't know what's going to happen. I think there was some chat earlier in the year that Nico could be 5'8 and Mitch Moses halfback, because Mitch or vice versa. I do think that Luai's, in my personal opinion, Luai's form and then his game versus Nico's last night, Luai is the more likely of the two to retain the half spot. So I think if Moses was to come in, it would be for Nico. 984K, he is going to lose money, but it doesn't really matter if he's going to be playing games and not playing Origin, because the whole point was we were worried about him backing up after Origin and how many he missed. The Sharks don't play 16, but effectively they would play 15, 17, 18, 19, 21, and their run during that period is Dolphins, Bulldogs, Titans, West Tigers, Cowboys, Souths, Titans. Like, it's just ridiculously easy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hold Nico now. Because I think the upside is greater than the downside of him making Origin now, for me anyway.
And I think, Chiz, what we said about Crichton before, I think if you trade him out now, well, let's say the news comes out that he's out for the next 2 weeks because his calf didn't, he didn't look fit either in his defence the other night. If it comes out that the Sharks are going to rest him for the next 2 weeks, give him through the round 16 bye, bring him back 17, I would still make the case that he's a hold in that circumstance because I think there's just going to be people who are going to trade him out, think, oh, I'll get him back, and then just never be able to do it, not be able to get the money, not have the trades. I think there's a chance that they get stuck without him.
Like the risk of him, the upside of him not making Origin 2 for super coach purposes means he was, if he did play Origin, does play Origin, he likely misses 17, which is a Bulldogs game. He could still miss 18, which is a Titans game. But then he definitely would have missed 19 against the West Tigers. And so now if he doesn't make Origin 2, whether or not he plays next week against the Dolphins, you're getting that three-game run of Bulldogs, Titans, and Tigers. To me, it doesn't matter that his break-even's enormous. By the time that run ends, if he plays all three of those games, he'll be back up to where he is right now, if not higher. Mm. And he's your captaincy option in those 3 weeks, and hopefully people have traded him. So I just think he's a hold. But I do think that if you were to sell him, because you didn't agree with any of that and you think the risk of him not being dropped from Origin is too high, I think Hughes is the only obvious halfback option to get this week as well. So I'm probably a little bit stronger because I already own Hughes and I don't want any other halfback for Nico as well. So it's probably team dependent.
Well, thank you for bringing it full circle back to Hughes Tubes, who I brought up first, and you're right, definitely shouldn't have, but good work bringing it full circle. That's why you're a pro. Tubes, one person I would say that you didn't mention who I think is another really good option is Cody Walker. And yes, he is only available at 5'8", but a lot of people would be in a position to move Dylan Brown up to halfback and bring Cody in at 5'8", and get rid of Nico that way. What do you think of Cody as an option, Tubes? Like I mentioned before, he's going to be on that right edge for South. They're starting to get a few of their players back. But I would imagine that Cody will be a license to roam man, even though he's going to be mainly based on the right. There's no way he's not going to be lining up out the left with Trell and Jackie Boy Whiten out there. What do you think of him as a buy? He's a massive pot at the moment. He's only a couple of percent ownership. He's a proven great of the Supercoach game, including last year, as recently as. Do you think he's a good buy at this stage? South playing 16 and 19. Thoughts?
Yeah, I've looked at it myself. He's 543K, so that's pretty cheap, which is a fair bit cheaper than the likes of Hughes. So it's a 450K downgrade from Nico, say you were to do that, which is a lot of bickies.
That is a lot. 450K, that's massive.
Yeah, so their run coming up is they play the Broncos next week, which is going to be tough. But outside of that, it's a very nice run playing both the round 16 and round 19 bye. So Titans this weekend, which is why it'd be a good buy for this weekend. Manly during round 16 when all their Origin players are out. Parramatta in 18, Dolphins in 19, Tigers 20, Canberra 21. It's a pretty nice run if you're making an argument to downgrade Nico to him. He gets dual with halfback over that period, and you can switch him around with Dylan Brown based on who's playing and who's not playing. Sounds pretty appealing. And then best case scenario, he gets to 750K, and you swapping him back out for Nico after that Origin period. That's probably all the upsides. I just don't trust it. They've still got Sean Kepi as their starting front rower. And bringing Talis Duncan, Sevilla Havili off the bench in that rotation. And then they've got Tane Milne and Richie Kenner as their centers, and Jacob Gagai on the wing. Like, it's just, there's just enough.
Gross. There. That's gross.
Yeah. Like, he can, and Cody has had a good game, but he's talking about what we mentioned earlier with New South Wales halves. He's always been, you know, he needs his team to be on top to be going really well. And so I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I do like it as a real pod play because I think at seven, his involvement and his amount of his hands in the ball is going to be bigger than it's ever been in his career. So I don't mind as a pod play, but I tend to agree with your overall sentiment, Tubes. The last one at 5'8 we're going to talk about is Tamare Martin, a.k.a. TMM, and that T may as well stand for trap because I just don't see a world where he's the right man to bring in this week.
Nah, not at all. I mean, SJ's apparently 2 weeks away, so I think without SJ, when SJ's back in the team, he's just not an option. I think especially if you were bringing him in for like Galvin, like Galvin and Dylan Brown are just two obvious 5'8 options that I think a lot of people have. And I think I wouldn't be trading either of them for Tamare Martin, that's for sure.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
All right, perfect. Centre wing, a second last spot for positional analysis. Tubes, are you going to start out with an apology to Barry Tui? Because I was on the pod with you a few weeks ago when Barry said that David Armstrong wasn't going to be Knight's first choice fullback and that he was in danger of losing his job to Fletcher Sharp. And I think your answer to that was, what does Barry Tui know? Has Big Bad Barry got it right and do you owe him an apology? Because there's rumours around that Armstrong, despite being named, is going to be dropped for Fletcher Sharp this weekend.
Mm. Cessnock Goanna's great Fletcher Sharp.
Is he really?
Yeah. So I'm surprised we didn't get some inside knowledge from the other greats, the Levito family from the Cessnock Goannas. But I Armstrong was terrible last week. I wonder, like, it's, you know, what's his name? Adam O'Brien had that whole social media spray and everyone assumed he was talking about Jackson Hastings, but now it's, you know, could have been David Armstrong. He's a very pretty boy, so I wonder if he's been getting a bit of Instagram DMs and he's been taking away his attention from the football field.
Maybe. A pretty boy and allegedly off to the Roosters.
Yeah, so getting a bit ahead of himself. He's done his job, though. He's got a break even of 12. I mean, he didn't do his job last week, but he's done enough of his job. He won me my steak dinner over Matt by beating out Trey Fuller in money-making category. I think you're really only holding him for one more week anyway. So happy to sell him or leave him as enough until it's time to move him on in the next couple of weeks.
So no apology to Barry forthcoming?
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how we go. Barry's a good man. I like following him on Twitter. but yeah, I'm not sure how this Fletcher news is going. We'll see on the weekend.
All right, so press pause on the apology, maybe next week. Josiah or Josiah Karapani for the Brisbane Broncos is dirt cheap. His basement price at 204K. Coming off a couple of pretty good scores for the Broncos. I had heard him bandied about as a good downgrade option. I believe he wasn't named to start this week, but with Reece Walsh getting absolutely knocked out last night in Origin, it looks like Selwyn Cobo will probably go to fullback, which opens up a spot for Karapani. Tubes, he could make 100K this week, Karapani. Is he worth as a quick cash injection for people looking to downgrade someone like David Armstrong potentially?
He could be, but, I mean, for me, does it matter how much he makes? Like, are we getting to the start stage of the season where there's also a bit of, you know, enough territory? I haven't looked at him that closely that is he a good playable option in your team if he does hold that starting center spot. He is obviously going to make a bunch of cash, but do people have enough trades to trade down to him and then trade him back out to a gun in what, 4 or 5 weeks' time? I don't know. I think he's, yeah, I mean, it's sort of just making that call or making that decision where the centre wings are just so stacked at the moment. Do you want to be carrying a 200K or, you know, rising player?
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to lose his spot, then you're going to get stuck with someone who's at 300K and he's not worth a downgrade to enough, and he's going to be too hard to get up to someone good. So I think Josiah is a no buyer. No, thank you, especially with Katoni Sags and Jesse Arthurs back in and around. Let's get to some of the more serious players now, Tubes. Ruben Garrick is one who I think a lot of people are going to be taking a look at this week. Manly covering round 16 and round 19. Are you a Garrick owner, Tubes?
No, haven't owned him all year.
Now, in our lost episode, Dan had him up as a must-have by round 16 and covering the buy period. I see where he's coming from. It feels a little bit like he can't beat Garrick this year at times, but there's just this part of me that still doesn't think he's going to deliver consistently at centre, and I can't shake it. And I would love to have him, but I think I'm resigned to the fact that I'm going to be going without Ruben Garrick over the bye period and that I have priorities elsewhere. Where do you land on all of that?
I think you want him, but I don't think you want him this week against the Panthers, even without their origin players. I think you want to get him in at some point in the next 2 weeks. They have a nice run coming up, even with the bye schedule. As well as the bye schedule that you mentioned. So they've got, from next week onwards, after the Panthers this week, they play the Dragons at Four Pints. Then they play the Bunnies in round 16. Then they play the Cowboys in round 18. Then the Knights, and then the Titans. So I think I agree with Dan that 15 or 16 is the time that you want to get him in before that run. And then he's a hold for the rest of the season. I think he's sort of going to be that upside player that you want to have during those next two bye games to play in your 13.
Yeah. All right. Well, another Manly centre who we've kind of kept on the run sheet because a lot of people are looking at him as a bye coming into this week as a fullback, but now he, in a massive surprise, has ended up being named in the centres with a cheapy fullback coming onto the radar. It's Cooler. So, Tubes, that just completely rules him out as a bye, being back at centre, doesn't it?
It does. I'd be interested to see if Hopper holds the spot. I mean, I know he played a pretty good debut game, and it probably makes sense because Cooler and Garrick are such strong centres that moving Cooler, then it means that it weakens their centre line. But I just think Cooler is such a good fullback that I won't obviously be getting him this week. But geez, I'd love for the same reasons I just talked about Garrick, I'd love Cooler to get back to fullback and I can get him over this next run that's coming up as well.
Dallin Mateniz of Lesniak Tubes has kind of been someone who's been bandied about a lot this year. He has lost 267K on his starting price down to 451,000 now. I can't do it. I just don't think I trust the Warriors enough this year. I think he's going to be heavily reliant on tries. I think he's undervalued, don't get me wrong, and his price is only going to go up. But I don't see him being someone who I could feel confident being a week-in, week-out play for the remainder of the year. But geez, that price is tempting.
I just don't – what's going on with the Warriors? Like, they looked good at the start of the year, couldn't win, then they looked terrible, and then they've had all these injuries, and they've beaten, like, a few of the hardest sides in the comp over the last few weeks as big underdogs. Like, I just have no idea. I don't like it. His base is just through, like, it's just his floor is so bad. So I just wouldn't want to bring him in. Feels like a real risky play. Might be one for a Flatty Burton side that's looking for that pod play and needs the big high upside guys to come up the ranks. But for me, I don't think it's something that I want to do.
Yeah, I think if you're looking to go for a big pod at this stage, who is at a value price, I can see it. He's just not for me. I just don't trust it. I like my centre wings to have a little bit of a higher floor than what I think he's going to have. And he's had a few sub-30 scores this year and a few around the 40 mark as well. So it's just not for me, but I do think there is a chance that someone gets him at that price and he goes on a massive run. So good luck to people who decide to take the risk, but it's not going to be me. What about Ronaldo Mulitalo, Tube? Speaking of guys who have become probably underpriced and what their high potential is, as a Sharkies fan, how do you feel about Ronnie?
I think he's looked good football-wise this year. I think I said in a preseason pod, at some point, Ronaldo's going to be like close to 800K. And then later on in the season, he's going to be sub 500K. And then he might get to 800K again at some point throughout the season. He's just such highs and such lows. And he started off the year really well. He then had a lean few weeks. And then he sort of put together a 73 with Trindle back in the side last week. I think all the things we talked about, Nico not playing Origin, I don't know what's going to happen if Trindle stays in the side or they keep Daniel Atkinson. So I just wouldn't go near Ronnie at the moment.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are. He's up to 15% ownership after last week, Ronnie. So he's getting brought in by a few, so definitely on the radar. Chiefs, let's move through now to our final spot of the week, and we're going to go to fullback. And I would have had this first guy as almost the equally best buy of the week with Fifita, but Origin 1 has got me scared off him a little bit. It's Latrell Mitchell, who I know you're an owner of, and I would love to already be an owner of. But for people who are looking at bringing him in, do you think that with Suoli now being suspended, that a spot potentially opens up for Latrell? Would it concern you if you're looking at bringing him in this week?
It would concern me if I was looking to bring him in this week. And I probably selfishly hope that people don't bring him in so that he stays a bit of a pod play. But I think if I didn't own him, I would still get him this week, even with the risk. This is just my feeling. I'm no Matty Widler, but my feeling is that Trell's out of the Origin realm and that, you know, Bradman Best, Matt Burton, et cetera, Isaac Targo, are probably closer to replacing Suoli than Trell. And I would take that risk for that Bunnies run that we talked about. He's not like Cody. He doesn't need a strong pack to still score well. And against not that strong an opposition, he can score well, and I'd be wanting to get him in this week before they play the Titans.
Jubes, if Isaac Tungle is selected to play Origin over Latrell Mitchell in game two, and it's not because of injuries, I will eat my hat. There is no way the form he's in is being picked over Trell. There's so much bias coming from you as a Trell owner there, not wanting it to happen that you're throwing up Isaac Tungle. I agree with you, Matty Burton, big shout, but come on, Jubes, you've gone too far with the second play you threw up there. All right. Reece Walsh, Tubes, for people who own him, and it's a lot, it's 17.5% of teams own Reece Walsh. He is obviously, as we mentioned before, got knocked out in Origin, looked absolutely terrible the way he went down. He's out this week. He's also gone next week because of the 11-day stand-down policy, so he's gone for the next two. Round 16, he's gone. I think the Broncos might have a bye. It doesn't matter because he's playing State of Origin. He's back and fit. Yeah. Gone. Got to get rid of Reece.
Have to get rid of Reece. And it's just about who you're going to, isn't it? That's why Trell was such a good option for people this week. We talked about a few options in centre wing, although I think we said there were none of them were buys this week. So I don't know what you're doing with Walsh this week if you're not getting Trell. Because it sort of feels like waiting another week or two. Pappenhausen could be back. You might want Teddy if Edwards is back in Origin. I think waiting, if you're not going to go Trell, isn't the worst. I don't know. What do you reckon?
No, I would honestly be tempted, and I think you'll shout this down, I'd be tempted to go a week early on that Lehigh Hopewate and make 500K this week if it meant that I could get David Fifita from Reece Walsh. I know it doesn't come without risk, but 500K is a lot of money. So it's something that I would be looking at if I was a Reece Walsh owner. I don't think I'd have the cojones to do it, but I'd be looking at it for sure.
Nah, no way. Like, I just have no... I don't think he's going to... I want to see him play it again. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not in the team in for his third game. And he's not even dual. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like, I'd almost rather, if you're No, I wouldn't like that either. I was going to say KO Weeks. It's a tough one. It's a pretty tough option. I'd be looking a lot more heavily in my center wing and move down someone like a Iro or something like that for a week or two while I sort of figured it out. And look at getting one of those other gun center wingers that you then going to look to keep for the rest of the year. I think Trell's just I'd just be getting Trell, like if I owned Walsh and I didn't own Latrell.
So you'd ignore the origin risk?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Hopewade Tubes, who we've mentioned there, you don't think he's going to be a buy. What about even next week? If he holds the spot next week, is he a downgrade option or is his lack of dual just put a line through him, do you think?
I think it puts a line through him. Like I think you want two premium. Maybe not because it is the origin period and you can probably...
Cover 16 and 19.
Yeah, if you're ever going to run a cheap fullback, it's probably during this period. But I think if Edwards is back, then you probably want Teddy. If Trell doesn't play Origin, you want Trell and you want Drinky. And so you want two of those sort of three. You just want premium fullbacks. So I'd it could even be Gutho season soon. Not that I'm talking up Gutho. Actually, he could be an option this week. I wouldn't be going for a 200K fullback only at this stage of the year.
I will be next week if he holds a spot from Trey Fuller, though, and because it's one of those ones where everyone want to upgrade Trey Fuller to, there's a little bit of a question mark around because of origin. So I'm going to take a look at it next week, but it's not a guarantee at this point. But I think, worth waiting a week on Hopewade just to see what happens there.
Can I ask... So we just talk. If you own Trell and Fifita, like a lot of people might,
yeah.
Which one are you going to put the C on or VC on?
Fifita. What about you? You will own both. So what are you going to do?
Well, I may not own Fifita, but Trell. I think Trell. No, I think if I own both, I'd have to put the VC on Fifita. I think Trell. It's a tough one. It'll be a game day decision, I think.
Go with the gut.
I think everyone will be captaining Fifita though, so it sort of feels like a bit of a risk. Mm. I think if I made the decision that I wasn't going to captain Fifita, I wouldn't buy him this week.
Say that again for me. Sorry.
So if I make the decision that I want to captain Trell over Fifita, I'm just not going to even buy Fifita.
Wow.
I'll go full antipod.
I reckon 90% chance you have Fifita come the weekend, Tubes.
I reckon you're saying that because you know that that makes it a 90% chance I'm not going
to
have
Fifita. Yeah, I'm trying to bait you. 100%. All right, Tubes, that's the end of our positional analysis. Let's go to the pot of the week. Do you want to start with yours, Tubes? It's someone we've already spoken about this episode.
Yeah, I've said it and I'm thinking about bringing him in, Colin Matangi, for all the reasons I've already given. I think he's a 7% ownership. Actually, that might even be high. I think he's 3% ownership. And I think he's a great pod option over this next 6 to 8 weeks and could be a hold for the run home.
Nice. Yeah, 4.5% ownership, Tubes. So you're pretty much bang on. My pod of the week this week is someone we've also mentioned. It is one of the hottest back rowers in the game, Kelma Chualangi, a.k.a. Kelma Hayek. No, he's not going to be my pot of the week at all. My pot of the week is Philip Sammy from the Gold Coast Titans, who's back in their team this week. He's had a few injury concerns. Tubes, you're a former Philip Sammy owner from last year, and you had him as a pot of the week at one point, and he went on a great run. His base plus power is absolutely elite. To me, the Titans look like they're starting to turn a bit of a corner, and they have fairly nice buy coverage coming up as well. He is in 0.3% of teams. 400 Supercoach teams own Phil Sammy. That is outrageously low for someone who can cross over for a try and has the base plus power for him. Tubes, talking about little chances of bringing in pods of the week. If Armstrong ends up being an out, if it comes out confirmed, there's a chance I try and find a way to get Philip Sammy in my team.
The only breaks I'd put on that, and I was looking it up while you were talking, he's named in the centers and he's... Mm. Elite base is as a winger. When I put him up as pot of the week and brought him into my team last year, part of that was because he'd been moved to the wing, mm-hmm. and his base output on the wing is just so much higher than in the centers, and obviously even scoring tries. So it looks like Alofi, Khan Pereira, and Jojo Fifita are the wingers, and Sammy's named in the centers. I'd want to see him on the wing before I brought him in, but I do like the shout of him as a player, but might not be. I wouldn't be doing it this week.
Yeah, wait till he gets back on the wing.
Fair, 101 break even this week as well.
Yeah, yeah. But geez, those that pod ownership, and you mentioned earlier, Tubes, the South back rowers. What he's going to be marking up against either Tane Milne or Richie Kenner. If he's up against Richie Kenner, he could seriously score a hat trick this week.
If he's up against Tane Milne, he potentially doesn't walk off the field with a head. So even more reason to not risk it.
That's some of your best work, Tubes. All right, Tubes, that brings us to the end of an episode. We've gone longer. Short and sharp, we said. We're up to an hour and 6 minutes. Far out. Beauty. Tubes, good luck this weekend. Enjoy not bringing in Dave for Fifita, and hope it works out. Actually, I hope it doesn't work out for you at all. What am I saying?
You beauty.